Today's kind of an interesting sermon. I'm going to call this The Good Life Part 1. We'll finish it up next week because I know I can't get through all the material I have today if I try to do it in one Sunday. And I'm excited about it because it really is something that's intently biblical but intently practical. And I just want you to get kind of prepared because I'm going to talk about some very practical issues today. And it's going to, I think, will help us become stronger in the Lord and in our walk with Him. Have you ever wondered if life could be better? Have you ever wondered if life could be better than it is right now? Have you ever kind of let your mind wander and just think about how life is and what it would be that would make life better? Have you ever thought about what you could do to experience the good life? You know, people talk about the good life, the American dream, the ideal life, the way to live. And have you ever wondered what it'd be like if to be one of those kind of people that have, rather than that kind of person that always wants or needs? Have you ever wondered or thought about other people and looked on them with a little envy at what you assumed was life with total fulfillment? Have you ever gotten yourself in a place in life where you thought, you know, that person really seems to have it together? Life seems to be going their way. Well, I want to talk with you today about the good life and help you hunger for the real good life from God's perspective and what He has for us as His disciples. It's never been God's intention for us to have everything in the world, because most of us can't handle it. It is His intention to give us everything we need. In fact, it is His call and a statement in His word where it says He gives us everything we need for life and for godliness. Anybody in here like to experience the good life? Well, let's find out what the good life is from a disciple's perspective. Now, I'm talking about disciples, discipling, diving deeper into discipleship, becoming God's man or woman, to become that kind of person that follows the Lord and lives the way He wants us to live. It's God's desire. Listen to me now. It is God's desire to prosper you. But the scripture says that there is a direct connection between the way God will prosper you materially with the way you are prospering spiritually. Many people want to come to me and say, oh, I need God to give me this, and I need God to give me that, and I need this money, and I need that money, and all those kinds of things. But the truth is that if you want to be prosperous, the key to life as a disciple of the Lord is to realize that there is a direct relationship with how close we walk with Jesus and the kind of prosperity we'll experience in the other aspects of our life. Now, a lot of prosperity preachers don't teach that because they just say, you know, God wants to make you rich. I listened to one lady that said that God, you know, God's part of God's redemption is to make you rich. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. But God wants to give you prosperity. He wants to prosper you. And why would God prosper us? So that we could have an opportunity to give a lot away. That's why He would prosper us. He doesn't just prosper us so that we can have. He gives it to us so that we can be people who give. Now, the truth is it's not the things that we have that'll ever make us happy. It's not the things that we enjoy, because people who have a lot of stuff are some of the most miserable people I've ever met. They have all the stuff. They have all the goodies. They have lots of money. But they're miserable. And they're miserable because they have not made themselves a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will only find true fulfillment and happiness when you move past the pew setting, church attending kind of mentality to realize that we are called to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Every day, all the time, He is number one. He is the one we follow every day. The disciples that Jesus called in the New Testament didn't just follow Him on to the temple on Sunday or Saturday. They followed him every day. And how many of you know that's what God's calling for us to do as well? And people, listen to me. We were created as God's disciples to worship him. Did you were created to be a worshiper. Did you know that? You were created. Your whole purpose in life is to worship the Lord. Now, sometimes we immediately think, well, that means what we do on Sunday or Wednesday when we sing. That's just a part, one part of worship. Our lives were created to be a worshiper. We have been called to be a worshiper. And let me tell you what worship means. Worship comes from the word worth. And the idea of worship is, who do you value? What do you value in your life? Who is the most important to you? And you will worship what you value or what you place worth on. And if Jesus is your a leader, if he's the one you're following, if you're his disciple, then you're going to worship him. You're going to serve him, and he's going to get your attention and your focus because he is worth it. He is to be worshiped, and he's the only one to be worshiped. And God has made each one of us to be worshipers. And so if you want to experience the good life without the emptiness and the disillusionment and the unhappiness that so many people have in this world that have just stuff without the hope I'm talking about, then you must come to Jesus and let him prosper you. I know that some would love to, to give it a try to have everything this world has to offer. But in my life, I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of people that have a lot of stuff. And I found out that there's a couple things about most of those people, not every one of them, but a lot of those people, not only are they unhappy, but they just want more. And it doesn't matter how much they have, they just want more and more and more and more. Because happiness or joy or fulfillment only comes through being a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And I pray that you do as well. Let me assure you that the good life does not come easy. It better could be called this, and I know Johnny will like this one. If you really want to put the good life in proper perspective and give it the title it deserves, you would call it the godly life. To experience the good life is to live godly. To live like he would want you to live, to look like him, to be like him, and to experience the good life by being the kind of person God wants you to be. Now, how do you do that? You do that by practicing some spiritual disciplines. And I'm going to be talking with you over the weeks about the spiritual disciplines that we're to have. I'm going to talk about concept or principle about that today. And then I'll get into the more specifics of it at another time. But let me assure you that if you really want to have the blessing of God on your life in 2007, it's going to be more than just because you threw something in the offering bag at some point or because you decided that you would like to just have a good year. If you want the good life, the godly life, if you want life the way God intended, then you must become his disciple. You must become his follower. You say, I'm a Christian. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about just being a Christian. Some of you know there's a lot of Christians that are not disciples. It's a lot of Christians who love God and know God in the way that they know him, and in sometimes a religious or distant way. But to be a true disciple of the Lord means you step beyond those boundaries and you move into a deeper walk with him than you've ever experienced before. It's experiencing his life every day in everything that we do. And so I want that. Do you? Do you want that? So let's look at what the good life is about today by looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is probably one of the most famous passages of Scripture in the Bible. But I want to look at it from a little different perspective today than maybe we've looked at it in the past. And I'm only going to look at verse 1 today. And next week we'll do verse 2. But it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept when you think of what he has done for you. Is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. I love this translation because it brings out the real truths of this passage. You miss a few things when you kind of get into the King James or even the New King James version of this because it sounds so kind of holy. But when the New Living Translation, it kind of just opens it up to like, how do you live? This is how you live. And so we're going to kind of talk about the first verse today and how it brings to light some important things about basic disciplines and truths that we must all know. He says, I beg you, I plead with you to present your bodies as living sacrifices and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? I love that. Now, so my point today, my sermon point for today is this too much to ask? If you think about all that Jesus has done through the cross and through all of the things that he's done throughout your life while you've been alive on this planet, if you think of all that Jesus has accomplished, is really giving our bodies to God as a living and holy sacrifice that much to ask? So I'm going to suggest some things today, and some of you will be mad at me by the time the service's over, but it'll be fun anyway. One of the first and very most important spiritual disciplines that we must have in our life is to present our bodies to the Lord. It's vital because if the body's not working correctly, then we cannot be the spiritual force God has called us to be in this planet and why he's placed us on this planet. If we don't have this body under control, then we will never become everything that God intended for us to be. And I think about what we deal with in life, you know, each and every day. We each one face different things in our lives, and we go through different kinds of aspects of our life. And I want to talk to you about giving your body to God. Now, you can think about this from a lot of different perspectives and different aspects, but I want to talk with you today a little bit about the complex human body that we've been given, the body that we've been given, and the person that we are. The Bible teaches us that we are a three-part person. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And many people come to Jesus and say, Jesus, come into my life, and he enters our spirit, and we become a new creation in Christ. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great that Jesus gives you a brand new beginning? You give your heart to Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me a Christian. That's good. But it doesn't stop there. Because that's only one aspect of who we are. Yes, it is the eternal part, but it's also we realize that the spirit that God's given us lives inside a body. Lives inside here. When my mom passed away last month, you know, her spirit left her body. So no longer does she have to worry about her body anymore. She's alive before God. That's good news, isn't it? But while we live here, we live in a body. And if we want what God's doing in our spirit to be able to have effect in a world, then we've got to live in a more healthy body. Amen? Now, if I was a big stud muffin up here talking about this, you'd be intimidated and you'd be thinking, wow, you know, Pastor Ron, he's just got it all together and, you know, he's talking down to us. But what I'm going to talk to you like is a fat boy who needs to learn how to get life under control. And I need your help. Because if I'm going to be the man of God throughout the rest of my life that God's intended for me to be, I've got to get my body healthy. And I need your help. So anyone here in this room today, by the time this is over, if you need to lose a few pounds with me, then you can get on the bandwagon with me and you can learn what it means to have a body that's under control and before the Lord. And I want to be a true disciple of the Lord, so I'm getting really practical, okay? So there's a quote that if you put obesity in your internet website, your Google thing, you'll get this statement. Obesity is not a simple condition of eating too much. It's now recognized that obesity is a serious chronic disease. No human condition, no race, religion, gender, ethnicity, or disease state compares to obesity in prevalence and prejudice, mortality and morbidity, sickness and stigma. What a statement. Now, you say, well, I need to, Pastor Ron, lose a few pounds, but you're kind of picking on me with this word obesity. Well, let me just talk about myself here for a minute. As God has given me this body to live in, he said, Ron, you've got this responsibility to take care of this body. And he said it so strongly, and we miss it because we spiritualize everything. We try to make everything in the Christian world and the Bible so spooky. But let me tell you how practical it is. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so therefore glorify God with your body. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. It says, run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And that's kind of the subject of what Paul's talking about. But listen to this. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor or glorify God with your body. Now, yes, the main subject topic here is about sexual immorality, but he's not just talking about that. He's talking about the whole aspect of keeping a healthy body. Now, we're going to get into, in the weeks ahead, spiritual disciplines. We're going to talk about reading the word and why it's important. We'll talk about worship. We'll talk about prayer. We'll talk about a lot of things. And we like to talk about that. But what I found out is I've been to India 2 times, and both times I stayed there 3 weeks each session. And while I was there, I found there were things I could not do as well as I should because my body was not in shape. It's not just about losing weight. It's about getting in shape. It's about being the man or the woman God is intended for us to be. Now, I'm going to get real personal here in a minute. And so I want you to kind of hang with me because my body hasn't been very good, hasn't been a very good temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'll share in a minute a little bit about my own self and how that has affected me. Now, the problem with the world today and many Christians is that we think that we have the right to live life any way we want to. It's my life. I'll do what I want when I want. But the Bible says you were bought at a price. And the translation that we read said a high price. Well, what was that price? That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the living Lord of the universe. You were bought at a price. It doesn't matter if you're skinny as a rail or big like me. It doesn't really matter. The truth is that we need to get our bodies in proper shape. Tomorrow, I have to go to the hospital, and they're going to stick this needle in my back. And I got to do that 3 times over a period of time. And the main reason why I have to do that is because I played too many sports when I was growing up. But the other reason is because of not taking care of my body. And it's not God's intention for his kids to spend their hard-earned money on going to get shots in their back if we just take care of our body. Amen? It's awful quiet in here. See, in a minute you're going to say, he's really not picking on me because he's just being really too honest. But the Bible teaches us that God wants our bodies to be healthy and strong so that we can accomplish his call on this earth. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them. That's God's call. That's called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. But the truth is that if we don't keep our bodies in good shape, we're not going to go anywhere and preach anything to anyone for very long. Now, Clark and Jana and Kyle and Aaron can probably relate to that part as good as anybody in this place, because they for the most part of their life, live in a foreign country. And even though a lot of life can be just life, there is an intensity when you start serving the Lord, and the onslaught of the enemy against you is great. And if you and I ever move out of just being a pew-sitting Christian and start really standing up for the Lord in a broken and busted world, then not only are we going to face physical issues, we're going to face spiritual battles like we've never faced before. And it takes a toll on our body. And so we must become people, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, if we really understand how much Jesus has done for us, then we'll want to give God our very best. And it starts with this body. Now look, let me just be blunt. God's not looking for dead sacrifices. Hello? He's looking for live sacrifices, holy and pleasing. And so I pray that you and I will become people who live at a higher level than we've ever lived before as we begin to follow the Lord. I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. Too far past it. Most people that started those have already failed. Diane was wanting to get a treadmill, and we looked in the you know, catalogs and stuff, and they were pretty expensive. And I think somebody said to her, just wait a little while. There'll be a bunch of them in the paper. People buy those things. They don't ever use them. Then they become a clothes rack. And pretty soon, you can buy them pretty cheap if you get the right people. I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm not talking about being a person who just starts and stops things. I'm talking about being a fully devoted follower, a completed disciple that is allowing God to get us in shape and maintain us so that we can fulfill the calling for which we are called. Now, I don't want to pick on him, but Rick over here, he works for UPS, and he has to, you know, carry boxes around, and he has to do all that. Well, if a person is doing a job like that that's physical, they realize how quickly just a little slight change in our body can make a big difference. And so just losing a little weight, or if we just gain a little weight, it just slows us down or makes us, I mean, it just helps us if we keep our body in good shape. And you know, getting in and out of the truck and doing all the stuff you got to do, it takes that constant keeping it going, keeping moving. Because if we stop, if we quit, then we can begin to not be able to do it. Well, no matter what you're doing for a living, let me assure you today that as a disciple of the Lord, your calling is not to be a UPS guy necessarily. It's while you're being a UPS guy or whatever you do. And in the process of being that person, our calling is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way we go into all the world, some people like the teeters, they go into all the world by going to another country. But most of us will go into the world by working at Tinker or working at the place where they feed people, the elderly, or working at a coffee shop or you know, working wherever you work, being at Boeing. That's how we go into all the world. And in the process of doing that, we must be ready and prepared to serve him with our body, with all of our life. And you know, when those disciples started following Jesus, they didn't have a clue what they were going to face. Every day was different. Every day was different. They didn't know if they were going to face demons, sickness. They didn't know if they were going to have a big meal that was provided by the blessing of the Lord from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or they were going to be fishing for their own. They didn't have a clue. They just followed Jesus. And it takes faith to do that. Now, let me get real personal here for a minute as we look at a couple of things about the problems in our world with weight. 64.5% of adult Americans, that's about 127 million, are categorized as being overweight or obese. Each year, obesity causes at least 300,000 excess deaths in the United States alone. And healthcare costs of American adults with obesity or overweight problems amount to approximately $100 billion. It's the second leading cause of unnecessary deaths. And despite its toll taken in death and disability, obesity does not receive the attention it deserves from government. And many of insurance policies don't cover the problem, the things that we need to help get that under control. Did you know that obesity is, and being overweight is, a chronic disease with a strong family component? So not everybody that struggles with their weight is just eating too much. Some people struggle with it because, quite frankly, it's a family issue. And they have to change their family tree by turning it around about the way that they keep their body in shape. And so we must be careful with that. Obesity or overweight problems increase one's risk of developing conditions such as high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, stroke, gallbladder disease, and cancer of the breast, prostate, and colon. It's a serious issue. You say, why are you talking about this kind of stuff? I thought you were supposed to preach the Bible. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I haven't been keeping my temple very clean. Now, I'm glad that Sharon and LaWanda keep the church building clean, but they can't keep this clean. I got to do that. The only person that can be responsible for the kind of shape I'm in is me. Can't be anyone else. If a person was to lose even as small as 10% of their body weight, they can improve their health. Just 10%. So now I'm going to talk about, Steve, let's move to the other thing. I'm going to talk about a little project that Caleb and I are doing, and Jonathan actually, but I didn't get Jonathan's information yet. We're going to do a weight loss thing, and what I want to call you to and encourage you to do is find you a partner like Caleb and Jonathan and I are doing at our, around our house and around our family. And this is Caleb's presentation. The wait is over. And so let's go to the next slide. And this is our 2007 competition. And throughout the series that I'm doing, we'll keep you up to date on this. And let's go on. And here's Caleb. His current weight is 224 pounds. And the next slide is me. I'm currently at 250 pounds. And so we're going to go on. And here's what we're going to do. I don't know if you can read this, but Caleb has decided what he's going to do is to do a low-calorie diet between 1,600 and 1,800 calories a day. Limit no desserts, only one serving per week max. He's going to limit his sugars, mainly natural sugars, non-processed, like example, high fructose corn syrups. Limit meals to only proper serving sizes. He says buffet is not a serving size. This is Caleb's call now. Love the fruits and veggies. By the way, he would have been here to do this for me today, but he had to work. So unfortunately, I have to do it for him. Love the fruits and vegetables, five fruits or vegetables per day. Limit carbohydrates. Watch out for those crazy loaves of bread. And he likes bread. Liquids. Drink enough water per day. Hydration. Now, mine is similar, but a little different. We're going to try to do the low-calorie thing, limit no desserts. I do no added sugar. I've already been kind of trying to work on this. I've lost 23 pounds so far. I have about 65 to go. And the Lord is helping with that. Limit meals to only proper serving sizes. This is what I've learned for me personally. May not work for you. But when I'm pleasantly full, I quit eating. And it doesn't matter if I'm halfway through the hamburger, fourth of the way through the hamburger, or three quarters of the, when I'm pleasantly full, I just push it away. Stop. We stop right there. And that's what's helped me probably in my little bit of time of doing it so far. Love the fruits and vegetables. I'm going to try to do the fruits and vegetables every day. That's good for a lot of things. Limit carbohydrates. I just left his thing on there. Liquids. Drink enough water. Drink as much water as you can during the day. And so let's go on here and see if there's, is that it? No, Caleb. Here's Caleb's goals. He's going to get proper sleep, an average of 7 hours of sleep per night. He calls it play around, exercise 5 times a week, at least 30 minutes, and partner up. He's going to communicate with me, his partner, through the week so that we can encourage one another and build one another up so that we can accomplish our goals. Mine's pretty much the same. Except for I'm going to try to exercise 3 times a week, at least 1 hour. I like to do a little more exercise at one time, and I may up that. I may change that and then communicate. Now, here's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that everybody find a partner or two or three or whatever. But people that will hold you to accountability and set some goals, just kind of like what we just talked about there for yourself. The goal is not to say, you're not eating right. That's not the thing. What we're going to do is we're going to use positive, kind of reinforcement by saying, man, you're doing good. Keep trying. Keep working at it. And if I say to Caleb, man, I didn't make it to the gym to work out 3 times. I only got there twice. He said, that's all right, but next week let's do 3. And for me, I'll just begin and encourage him to get those 5 30-minute workouts every day, those 5 days of the week. And so, that's where we're going to start. Now, here's one of the things when you try to get your body in shape, don't try to do it all overnight. Don't try to lose weight fast. The Atkins diet, I did it. I lost a lot of weight, and I gained it all back. Losing weight fast does not work. And so don't get discouraged when it's only 1 pound every once in a while or something like that. And the closer you get to your target weight, the harder it is to get it off, but you can do that. Approximately 127 million adults in the U.S. are overweight, 60 million obese, and 9 million severely, or what they call morbid obese. Now, they've got this thing called a body mass index, and I'm not sure that I agree with it totally because if I was to be in the body mass index that I'm supposed to be, I'd have to weigh 155 pounds. And I don't know that that's possible. I think one of my legs weighs 155 pounds. But let me teach you how to do your BMI if you want to know how to do your body mass index. You take your weight in pounds plus your height in inches, and you square the height in inches times 704.5. So I don't know anything about math, but Diane helped me with this. If you take my weight, which is 250 pounds, and you take 68 squared, that's 68 times 68, which is 4,624, you see in the one below, and then you multiply that by 704.5, my body mass index is 38. Well, let me give you an example. Below 25 is healthy. 40 is getting to the highest part of what they call obese. If you go above that, it's beyond that. And so what their goal is for you to get your body mass index between 25 and about 29 or something like that. So, Oh, weight in pounds divided by the inches. Okay, sorry. We did the top part wrong. But so our idea or our goal is to try to get our body in shape. Now I got a question for you. Can I get some help in here? Because I need my body to work right. Can I count on the body of Christ to support the body to get in shape? See, I can't. It's more than just saying, "Oh man, you look like you've lost some weight." That feels good, but I need you to do more than that. I need to say, "Are you doing your workout stuff? How you doing? How you feeling? Are you getting better? Are you getting stronger? Are you getting healthier? Are you eating your vegetables?" See, my mom passed away, so I got to have a lot more moms. And so I need somebody to say, "Hey, you eating your vegetables and fruit? Oh, man, I didn't do too good this week." No. Get back on that, because it's good for you to do that. Encourage. In other words, I need your encouragement. And so that I can become the servant of the Lord that's going to be able to serve this church body for a lot of years to come. See, I don't want to, I'm 50, and I don't want to be a pastor who gets to about, 60 years old and so worn out and fat he can't move. Can't walk across the front of the church. Boom. Boom. I want to get in shape. I want to serve this church family with health and with strength. It's not about looking good for me. I'm not interested in that. I don't care about that. It's not about trying to be the stud muffin of the world, though I am. It's about being a man that's a disciple of the Lord. That's what it's about for me. So may I suggest to you and to all of us that we change our eating habits. May I suggest that someone come up with a weight loss contest like Caleb has to help other people. If you've got some ideas, maybe bring those along so we can. But it's more than just weight loss. It's about getting in shape. You know, there's a lot of people who look good. They look skinny, but they're not healthy. And the more foreign things that we put into our bodies, the worse we're going to be. It doesn't matter what the outside body looks like. I've met some real skinny folks that are not very healthy because they're doing drugs. Amen? I've seen, so it's just not about weight loss. That's a part of it, but that's not all there is to it. It's about becoming a disciple in every part of our life so that we don't put things into our body that's bad for us. I don't talk about this kind of stuff very much, but smoking and drinking alcohol, those kind of things are not good for our body. Now, I could go into other reasons why, but let me just say they're not good for you. So limit that and ask God to help you with it if that's a problem for you. May I suggest that we encourage one another to work out at a health club or gym or home gym, whatever you have. If you're a member somewhere, encourage another person to go with you and join so that you can encourage one another and be partners in that. May I suggest that when we have a church eating event, which is often, we slow down on the desserts. I didn't say quit, but slow down on the desserts and bring more weight-conscious type foods. Now, don't just do that completely because some people are not going to buy into this. They're going to go, "I need some fat." But for those of you that are into it, that's be careful, but be conscious of that. Most of all, may I suggest that we use some discipline by pushing the plate away sooner and serve smaller portions and be more aware of your eating habits, which is how fast you eat. And I encourage you to not watch television while you eat or do another activity. You think, man, you're boring. I know, because I'm the one that's fat, and I don't want to be anymore, and I like to watch TV when I eat sometimes, don't you? But you don't realize how much you're eating and what you're eating if you're not paying attention. Now, remember, I'm not saying that weight loss is the only thing. I'm just telling you that we need to be careful with what we're doing and putting into our body. For our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, lastly, just a couple more little things here for your little paper that you're filling out. When you think of what he has done for you, is it too much for us to ask God to help us and ask one another to help one another, not just to be saved? That's a major thing, of course, but to be a person who's fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Is it so much? Is it too much to ask that we would put church back into our habit? Not only be here on Sundays, but Sunday nights and Wednesdays when we meet. To participate in our small groups so we can grow. Remember, there's a direct connection between prosperity and the way you're prospering spiritually. Is church all the place? No. I'll get into that in weeks ahead about other places that you can grow in your spirit. But it's a good place to start. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So may I suggest that you put God and his things, his place of a gathering of his people, the word of God, prayer, giving, and giving life away to other people is vital to your spiritual growth and prosperity in your life. You can't separate them. And if you try to, then you'll never experience true prosperity. A lot of people would like to experience true prosperity, but you will not experience true prosperity unless your spirit is growing. And then lastly, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, he says. I plead with you. Paul thought that what we're talking about today was so important, such an important thing to present our bodies to God, that he said, I plead with you. This Greek word means to call near, to invite, to invoke. It has the idea of being of good comfort and desire, to exhort, to entreat, and to pray. The idea of this word is when he said, I beg you, I urge you, I plead with you. He's saying, what I'm talking about is vital. And I'm calling you close to it. And I want to ask you as a God's people, I entreat you with the Apostle Paul to come close to this and realize that not of course, getting in shape and losing weight is not the only thing. But it is one place to start where he wants us to live our lives and live our life pure before him. He wants us to have our thoughts, life in order. And he wants us to work our heart in that way that is pleasing to him. That our conversation, our words are pleasing to him. That the kind of words that come out of our mouth and the language that we use is pleasing to the Lord. It's not just about weight loss. He wants us to be pure in our eyes with what we look at and what we read. You want to grow spiritually? You got to be careful what you look at on the internet. If you want to grow, if you want to become a disciple of the Lord, you got to be careful what kind of books you're reading. You're saying, well, they're just innocent. They're just books. What you put into your mind will come out your mouth, and it'll come out of your actions. So be careful what you read. Forget that. I'm not going to. You just ask the Lord. Before you open a book to read it, you ask the Lord, should I be reading this book? And let him make the choices for you. If you don't feel peace at it, then close the book, give it away, or throw it away, whatever you do with books like that. Be careful. When you get on the internet, I ask you, I plead with you, I beg you, to do what I've started doing in the last weeks and months, that every time I get on the internet, before I ever sign on, before I ever get the thing up there, I say, Lord Jesus, would you direct my computer today and direct my hands and my thoughts to be pure before you? Because there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions of things on there that are great. And I don't want to miss those. But I don't want to miss God because I allow my mind and my eyes to go to one thing that would be displeasing to Him. Can I urge you? Be careful what you put into your life. Because when you do, God will honor you. And I believe that God wants us to be completely dedicated followers of the Master, a true disciple of the Lord that realizes each and every day. And I've been trying to do this every day too. I've been trying to get up every morning and say, Lord, I want to take these moments, these first moments, and recognize what you've done for me. I want to take a moment to just mention a few things that I realize and recognize that you've done for me. And then I've been asking myself this question. Is it too much to ask to live life pure before the Lord? Is it too much to ask after I consider all the things you've done for me, Lord? It's not too much to ask to have thoughts, words, actions, eating habits, all those kinds of things pleasing to the Lord. Now I'll tell you, if you can forgive me for preaching about weight loss, you can forgive me for anything. But all of us in this room need to look at it past weight loss. Just use that as an example. To realize that God's called us to be His disciples and to be followers of the Lord in such a way that all of our life, spirit, soul, and body, is pure before Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for helping us understand the simple but vital truth that, Lord, each one of us have our own things we need to deal with. It's not a cookie cutter thing. It's not a cut and dry thing where we can say we got to do everything. Everybody's got to do the same thing. To be your disciple means that we just present our lives to you and ask you to help us make them holy and blameless before you. Lord, I ask you right now to help us. There may be some of you today that you say, Pastor Ron, I'm like you. I need to lose some serious weight. And I need to get in some serious shape. And I need the Lord's help. I'm telling you right now before the Lord, He is here to help you. He wants it for you. And maybe you don't need to lose that, but you may have something in your life where you say, Pastor Ron, some of the things that I'm putting into my mind, my soul, some of the things I'm reading, some of the things I'm looking at are not pleasing to the Lord, and I need to put on whatever things I need to put on to protect myself from that. But the big decision that every person in this room must make is if they want to be a completely devoted follower of Jesus Christ or not. Every person in this room has to make the decision of whether they're going to follow God close or from a distance. We're going to have to decide whether we're going to come close to Him and let Him come close to us, or where they're going to walk our own way. And I assure you today, as people that I love, that if you choose and as I choose to live life in our own way, thinking somehow that life belongs to us, I want to remind you that you were bought at a price, the high price of the loving Savior Jesus Christ. And He cares about you. He loves you very much, and He wants all your life to be whole. And so, Father, I end this service, this sermon today, by just saying, God, help each one of us to find what we need to do. There will be some that will relate to me with the weight loss and some, Lord, that won't. There will be some that want to get in shape and some that won't. But there may be other things that those folks need to work on. And I want to be an encouragement to them. I want to lift them up. I want to build them up. I want to love them so much where they're at that I can help love them to where you want them to be and to reach the goals that they've set for their life. Whether it be something with their spirit, with their mind, or with their body, I pray that you make us successful and make us prosper. In Jesus' name.